Welcome to the Universe of Bright Minds podcast series. In this episode, Crispin Little-Hales talks to Don Clawson, CEO of ST Engineering iDirect, about how the company addresses the market, its customers, and partners. So over to you, Crispin.
Okay, greetings to everyone out there, and welcome to the Universe of Bright Minds. I'm your host, Crispin Little-Hales, and today I'm absolutely delighted to be chatting with Don Clawson. He is the CEO of ST Engineering iDirect. As many of you know, during Don's tenure, he's been instrumental in the push to advance hybrid networks and multi-orbit solutions. He's also been a strong advocate for standards-based interoperability. All the while, he's maintained the company's global leadership, which is no small task considering the company's international customer base and impressive product portfolio. Don, without further ado, I would like to welcome you to the show and thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Thanks for having me. I look forward to it.
Yeah. I know it's been a fast and furious, almost 3 years, I think, now at the helm, and I want to hear all about that. But before we delve in, I'd love to know what you consider to be your biggest accomplishments thus far.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. It's been a fast 3 years. It's almost been 3 years, as you mentioned. I think it really falls into two buckets. One is how we address the market, our customers and partners, and then two, the technology aspect. So we've always had a customer-centric approach, but we've doubled down on that to make sure that we position iDirect as a leader in cost-efficient, consumption-based offerings where we can reduce the upfront investment and accelerate deployments. We ran a proof of concept on that for a few years, and then we productized that earlier this year at Satellite 2025 with our Intuition Unbound offering. And along with that, it's becoming a trusted partner. You know, as the market's been disrupted, it's more important than ever that we, you know, deal directly with our customers, understanding their needs and how they're going to progress their businesses forward. So through customer engagement and aligning our focus on long-term activities or goals that our customers are pursuing, it's really informed how we develop our next generation products. And then the second part of that is technology. As you know, iDirect has a long history of standards-based leadership. We've continued to progress that to champion, as you mentioned, interoperability and collaboration across the ecosystem. You know, we've been highly siloed in this industry for as long as I've been in it and much longer. And with the new entrants in the market and the requirement to progress technology faster, it's really important that we work together and all agree on a standards-based ecosystem. And then with that comes driving innovation. I think we'll get into talking about technology a little bit more, but the pace in which we have to develop technology is faster than it's ever been. And we've got to push the limits of what we can allow the satellite communications industry to do. And then finally, as part of that, it's game-changing technology. So we launched Intuition in 2024, and it was really to address what was needed in the next 3, 5, and 10 years, not just what's needed right now or working in the same manner that we've worked with in the past. So we've changed the way we've developed technology, we've changed the technology we're going to develop, and we've changed the way we've addressed the market. So I think those are the things that I think are the biggest accomplishments in the last 3 years.
So I know you've been in this business for a long time, and of course you touched a little bit on sort of the disruption, but this really is an amazing time in our industry. It's very disruptive, and there's been a geopolitical turmoil that's really kind of changing the landscape, particularly in the defense arena, and business just is not as usual. And you know, iDirect, ST Engineering iDirect, in my mind, is kind of a legacy company. And now suddenly everything is so different from what it's been before. How are there some specific examples of how you are embracing this time of disruption and managing to stay innovative and relevant. You touched on sort of the interaction with customers, but if you could expand a little bit more on that, I'd appreciate that.
Sure, and it's interesting the term legacy company because we are a long-term player, so we could be viewed as that. And if you look across history and business, I think back to business school, one of the first case studies that you do is on Kodak and how they reacted to the digital camera. And them being a legacy company in the industry, they were about selling chemicals. So they doubled down on chemicals and film instead of doubling down on production of a digital camera, which they were the first to produce, I believe. They had the first one. And so when you hear the term legacy company, we want to make sure that we're not the Kodak of old. And I think we've done that. And the way we've done that to transform, hopefully, how we're viewed, but definitely how we operate is the first is the people. It's the transformation and talent. So understanding that the market was disrupted and they're more telco-ish, as I'll call it, requirements going in the future, and that interoperability was going to be very important. We specifically recruited expertise from adjacent industries like telco, sorry, I can't get that out, cloud technologies, and people that have experience with AI. So if you look, our CTO is not a 25-year SATCOM veteran. He comes from the telco space. Our new COO comes from the telco space, and they've brought people in. And so it starts with talent. And we have enough SATCOM people. We have that expertise. We have a long legacy in that. So we had to augment our talent with people that had different ideas and had been through these migrations in telco. So that's number one. The second I touched on before, and that's really collaborating with our partners and our customers. And in the past, a system would go on orbit, a spacecraft, a ground system would be purchased, and they would sit in place for roughly 20 years, 15 or 20 years if you're lucky. So we've collaborated with our customers instead of being an afterthought to co-develop our scalable, interoperable solutions to address not just what's happening now, but as I mentioned before, 3, 5, and 10 years from now. And that goes into the visionary leadership that I talked about before, is we realized that the way our customers were buying was changing from transactional purchases to more of a collaborative, grow the network as the customer base grows. So we embraced flexible business models and realized we didn't have to do business the way we did. And that's why we launched Intuition Unbound. And then as you've probably seen in our latest news releases, we've really focused on 5G and 3GPP cloud technologies and AI. Those are the next generation technologies for the satellite industry. And not too long from now, you're going to see us release some more information on some real world proofs of concept that we've done around AI and how that's enabling the networks. So it's really those things. It starts with talent. It goes back into what I talked about at the beginning of working with our customers closer, and then it becomes technology and not doing the same things that we've done in the past, but developing for the future with that total telco view in mind. Satellite communications is going to become and is becoming part of the larger telco ecosystem.
Right. So that kind of brings up my next question, which is really about the rise of all of these other satellites. We're no longer in this land of geo, and it wasn't that long ago that that was pretty much where the focus was. And yet, just in the time that you've been at the helm there at ST Engineering iDirect, we have had an unbelievable proliferation of Starlink satellites and their vertical integration strategy. And now Kuiper is finally launching its satellites, and they're gaining momentum, and they have a different business model. So what are you seeing as the key opportunities and the challenges that are associated with integrating GEO, LEO, MEO, HEO satellites into, cohesive systems instead of these, kind of disconnected constellations? That's my question there.
Yeah, so I'll start with the challenges because from the challenges come opportunities. So you kind of hit on it, the technical complexity. We've never had to switch between systems. We've had to switch between spacecraft and beams, but not disparate systems, some vertically integrated and some not. So that's going to require advanced systems that can seamlessly provide those handoffs and manage real-time switching. And more than that, if you follow me, you'll see I talk about the back end being able to bill for those separate services. So that complexity, enables opportunities that I'll talk about in a minute. And then it's the interoperability piece. I talk about the mobile wireless carriers a lot. They figured this out. They figured out that shared infrastructure, seamless roaming, being interoperable, having minimum standards for security and things like that really opened up their ability to drive revenue and make the customer experience better than it would be if they were siloed. And so all those come into operational constraints that if we don't solve for those problems that we'll have. Before I go into the opportunities, one of the advantages that the new entrants have is they don't have legacy customers. So the challenge that the traditional market has is we have tens of thousands of people that are using our systems that we have to bring to the new systems, whereas a newcomer does not have that. They don't have the legacy. So, the opportunities that all of this brings are enhanced coverage. We're not stuck with siloed systems in the future that once you're in a beam, you might be able to switch to another beam, but once you get out of that footprint, you kind of struggle to get access. If we integrate GEO, LEO, MEO, and HEO, everybody forgets about EO, but that's important for connectivity as well, the user experience will be better and there will be more options. And where we're really focused are on two things: optimize resources, which is intelligent routing of the traffic, making sure that performance is not lost, and ensuring that our partners can operate those networks, whether they're vertically integrated, horizontally integrated, or like we call it, if they're all together, diagonally integrated. We call that diagonalization. And with that comes scalability, because now we have more users in the network that we've had before, roaming across different vendor solutions, roaming across different orbits and different frequency, and we've got to manage all that. So that provides the opportunity. If we stayed in our legacy mindset, then we'd be doing the same things we've done for 30 or 40 years, and we wouldn't be able to achieve these. So we've pivoted our focus. So we'll continue to advocate for open standards, because that is critical for us to realize the total revenue potential that we can in the industry and make sure that customers have a good experience. And we will continue to leverage next generation technologies and standards like 3GPP, AI, cloud-driven solutions. So that really is, in my view, the challenges, but the challenges open up more opportunity than we'd have in the past. If those new entrants did not disrupt the market, we'd probably be doing the same things that we'd done in the past.
So it sounds like an enormous work in progress. Kind of, every time I speak with people about this, it seems as though it's a continuum. Where really are you on the continuum? Are you do you feel like you're kind of close to having this secure multi-orbit interconnectivity? Is it a reality yet, or is there more left to be done?
So I think there's always going to be more left to be done, because now we're in this iterative approach where we're not going to have a system in place for 20 years. It's largely static. It's going to have to be upgraded over time with new features. We saw this coming a few years ago, so we started to develop, and we've been demonstrating our machine learning and artificial intelligence technology. We've been demonstrating our 3GPP on the back end capabilities, where we can have non-native 3GPP endpoints and networks interact with a 3GPP enabled network. So we're well along in this moving forward, and we'll realize this, as I mentioned, in an iterative process. It won't be, you flip the light switch and everything's changed over and we have Nirvana. That's just not realistic. And if you try and do that and develop a 100% solution that you need to realize on day one, by the time you get there, it's going to be old technology. So we're really iterating. So we've established the foundations with traffic optimization. We've always been really good at that, and orbit switching and beam switching, and we've moved that to orbit switching. So we've shown that we can switch between orbits using advanced algorithms that's been demonstrated on Viasat's GX10 and HEO in the Arctic operations. So we know that works already. We've got the 5G NTN blueprint. As I mentioned, we've integrated non-3GPP satellite networks with the 5G core with our inner working gateway function. And that's really the first step to realizing interoperable solutions. And then, we're going to move forward in Intuition with a full 3GPP access to the 5G core and incorporating these technologies that come from the mobile wireless community and now are being extended into the satellite communications community, using optimized eNode B technologies and gNode B technologies and hybrid 5G user equipment. So, as we bring all this together, as I mentioned, it's going to be, a quarter by quarter iteration to realize these objectives. And of course, to do that, we're going to have collaboration in the industry. The whole ecosystem is going to have to collaborate, much like the mobile wireless community does.
Right. That's a good time to take a brief intermission here. So we're going to take a little short break and we'll be right back. So listeners, please stay tuned.
Satellite Evolution Group podcast series is sponsored by ICO Media Group, an international company providing advanced teleport and cloud services for broadcasters. Its commitment to innovation drives the company to continuously improve and provide exceptional services, ensuring its clients have access to the best in broadcasting solutions.
Okay, we're back with Don Clausen, and we're going to pick up just where we left off. So, Don, I've got another question for you, really about industry standards. I know how important they are, and I know you've been at the forefront advocating for them. What I want to know is, are at this point in time, are most companies embracing them, or are there holdouts? And if so, is there a strategy afoot to bring these players into the fold? What's going on there with standards?
So it's a mixed bag. We talk about standards a lot. You have those that are vertically integrated and want to use proprietary solutions. It makes sense on their part to optimize their network sometimes, but it would be helpful if there was some entrance into it that is standards based. So I think we want to be standards based as an industry, but I don't think that the real requirement to push those standards has been driven as an industry as a whole. So we'll continue to lead the way and demonstrate. Some of the positive leading indicators are the advancements in 3GPP with all the releases. We have a seat at the table now for the NTN portion of it to make sure that our use cases are driven into the standards. It gives us kind of a blueprint to move forward. But, it's really going to require organizations like DIFI and WAVE to drive collaboration between competitors, even partners, and the larger ecosystem. I think the GSOA organization can probably play a role in this as well. We really need those collaborative bodies driven by the global and regional operators to demand standards. So I think there's work to be done. I think we're in a more positive position as an industry than we have been over the past, I'll say, 10 years at least. But there's work to be done, and we're going to drive that work to be done. Again, I talk about mobile wireless all the time because that's the blueprint. And I think their blueprint gets us 80%, 85% of the way there. And then we need to figure out the other 15 or 20% on our own. So we don't have to do this from the ground up. We can take lessons learned from that community. And I think you see that happening now. If you look at people coming into the industry in the senior executive ranks, a lot of them are from telco. And that's where that mindset shift starts from the top down and bringing people in with different experiences. So we need unified standards. To get there, we're going to need strategic partnerships across the ecosystem. And we've all got to be collaborative. Repeating myself, the mobile wireless community figured this out. They figured they could increase their revenue potential by increasing their consumer base and having a more positive experience if they work together. And so that's where we need to go.
Great, great. I'm going to pivot a little bit. Partnerships. You mentioned, of course, that they're key to moving forward. And I know that ST Engineering iDirect has forged some very important collaborations. I'm wondering if you could give me one or maybe two examples of some of these, truly transformational partnerships.
Yeah, I already mentioned the HEO effort with Viasat on their GX platform to switch between GEO and HEO. That's really important because even though it's a different orbit than what we normally talk about, MEO or LEO, it's extremely important. And you learn a lot from having to switch between GEO and HEO. So having worked with Viasat on that, it was very important for us to learn those lessons and figure out what we didn't know already. And then, you've probably seen in some of our releases, we've partnered with Airbus on the spacecraft side, on the data analytics side, AWS, Microsoft, and there's some ST engineering platforms that we've been using for AI and ML capabilities. So using all of that from the data analytics portion. And so we have some other partnerships that I can't divulge right now, but we're working with other partners on predictive analysis, anomaly detection, enhanced automation, all of these things to ensure that the back end of the network is capable of actually being managed. I think we talk about the technology on the front end all the time because that's where we connect users. But I think sometimes we forget that the real challenge is going to be operating the network on the back end. So we've been known to develop world-class hardware and waveforms, but now we're really becoming a core part of the network, understanding that if we don't get that back end right, the OSS, BSS, and the overall operations, that it's going to be unusable. And if it's unusable, the customer experience is challenged, and then people look for alternative forms of communication. So those are some of the critical partnerships is, I mentioned Viasat, Microsoft, AWS, and our parent company, ST Engineering.
It's a lot of really novel, or well, in a way new and a way old, as you say. You're sort of taking some of your lessons from telcos, but some of the language now that's bandied about is so different from, 4 or 5 years ago, and it kind of makes me think about the people who work at your company. They're having to embrace so much more than probably they did when they first came on board. And so I wanted to know what makes you most proud about your team, and what do you think that says about the culture at ST Engineering iDirect, that you can throw all of this new stuff at these people and they're delivering for you?
Yeah, so it starts with world-class talent. I mean, whether 40-year SATCOM veterans or people that come from the telco, we have world-class talent, and I think nobody in the industry can deny that, based on the innovations that we've had over, the 30 or 40 years that iDirect has been in the market. The first thing that I'm most proud of, and I can just speak of the 3 years that I'm here, is when I came in, I asked a lot of the company, and the company very quickly pivoted their mindset to embrace all these new things that we talked about. And then as we started bringing people in from telco and that have cloud-based backgrounds and AI, there was really none of that inertia that you would normally get in, what you called a legacy business of, well, we don't do things that way, or that's not what our customers want. Because we truly are a global company. We have offices around the globe. Everybody embraced that and took on the challenge. And that's why we were able to pivot so quickly with intuition. And then, it comes down to execution. We set some really aggressive timelines, and the team has executed those timelines. If you think about when I joined the company, it was January 2023. The company, was willing to and able to come up with a product strategy and a go-to-market strategy very quickly that addresses the new SATCOM. And we were able to launch the brand at Satellite 2024, and you've seen the releases that we've had out. So that agility and being able to adapt to the market shifts is critical. And then the customer-centric focus. I mean, our employees are very focused on outcomes for our customers, and that allows us to build strong partnerships and being able to pivot and adjust internally as appropriate as our customers' needs are pivoting. Because while we feel the disruption, our customers feel the disruption too. You know, they need different features. They need to go to market in a different way to not only retain their revenue base that they have now in their legacy footprint, but also migrate those customers. And so I think those are probably the three things. You know, if I had to summarize that, it would be the change in mindset, the excellence in execution, and really a customer-centric focus.
Well, and bravo for you for your leadership, because that doesn't happen without, a good team leader there. So,
Thank you. Thank
yay.
you. There's a team.
One last question here. I would love it if you could take a look into your crystal ball and tell me something that ST Engineering iDirect Solutions are going to enable in the future that would feel almost impossible in the here and now.
Yeah, so if I put that into one sentence, it would be seamless roaming and management across disparate systems. So that is where we will drive the industry. That is what we will provide for our solutions. You know, we look at modernization as an opportunity with virtualization, the multiple orbits we have, driving standards-based solutions, and of course, automating as much of that as we can so that we can achieve the scalability required. Adaptability in our business models to ensure that we are providing the best value to our customers so they can bring more customer base onto their networks. And then what's really going to be required that hasn't been a requirement for us in the industry is telco-grade connectivity. We need to be seamless. It needs to be easy to use. It needs to be on demand, and the customer's experience has to be really good, or they're going to find alternatives. So, you know, looking into the crystal ball, it's seamless roaming and management across disparate systems.
Gotcha. Thank you. That if there's anything else that I haven't touched upon, this is our moment, to add anything. Any last words before we?
I would just say, you know, there is a disruption in the market, and there's a lot of speculation of which orbit is the most important orbit, or can all orbits exist? And it's my belief that to really achieve that telco grade connectivity and really open up the market so that SATCOM is a critical piece of the overall telco network, we're going to need all orbits, and we're going to have to continue to innovate, and we're going to have to do it iteratively, if I can get that out. So I think that's where we're going. I think it's an exciting time. What's really nice is space is new again, and people are excited about it.
Great. Great. Hey, listen, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us today. And listeners, to find out more about ST Engineering iDirect's products and to download white papers, to check out the Knowledge Center, or to catch up on the company news, just go to www.idirect.net. Thanks, everybody. And again, Don, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
That's all for this episode. Until next time, stay connected.